Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to the airwaves of Radio Islam International this Friday morning, this Jum'ah morning. Once again, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy, through His sheer grace and kindness upon us, has blessed us with the noble day of Jum'ah, the greatest day upon which the sun rises. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to spend this day in His worship, in His obedience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the divine inspiration that we can gain closeness to Him. There's a lot of good deeds that we should be doing right through the week, but especially on a Friday we should be increasing in our Nafal Salah, our recital of Quran, our Dhikr, our Dua, and very, very important, we have to try and send abundance of Durud, Salat and Salam upon our Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Be it a Friday morning, it is the Sahaba focus. In this program, we speak about the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. It is very important that we should be learning about the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. It is through them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this beautiful deen that we have with us today. So our guest on this program is Mulana Muhammad Aku from Darul Uloom in Newcastle. And Mulana, as we said, speaks on the lives of various Sahaba. Over the past few weeks, Mulana has been speaking of the life of a particular Sahabi, a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala an. Mulana takes a look at the life of this great Sahabi, the sacrifices that he had made for deen, how he had strived for deen, and how much of love he had for Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we listen, and we listen with the intention that we will practice, and we make a sincere effort to bring deen into our own life. So the story of Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu has been going on for a few weeks. Mulana will inshallah this week, Mulana takes a look again, continuing the life of Hazrat Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and where a story, a very, very beautiful and interesting story that comes to where Hazrat Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu's love for deen and love for Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to light is the incident of Khandaq, the battle of Khandaq. And so Mulana will go through the story, the battle of Khandaq, and conclude with the life of Hazrat Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to love the Sahaba, to learn about the Sahaba, and to live our lives like how the Sahaba had lived their lives, to love Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to love and serve this beautiful deen. Let us listen attentively.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Welcome to all our respected listeners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us for His deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us from strength to strength and enable us to do this, the services of this, of our great deen, like the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. My respected listeners, we were discussing this great Sahabi, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we got to a point where we discussed how he accepted Islam and how he was the means of his mother, who was a great woman. We have discussed before in the series, Kabsha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And we reached how he participated in Badr, and he was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him very, very much, and his mother always supported him to be by the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many mashuras, if there was a mashura to take place, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would gather Sa'deen, the Sa'ds. He would say that I will decide. Let me gather the Sa'd, Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, and Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Always. That shows his closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was on the occasion of Khandaq, when Sa'd bin Mu'adh was rushing towards the battlefield, because in Khandaq now there was a lot of pressure, because the Jews of Banu Qurayza had actually went to Makkah and rallied the Meccans and the Ghatfani tribes. So they had rallied thousands of people that was never accumulated before, such a number. And their plan was to eradicate Islam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat with the Sahaba, made Mashura. Sa'd bin Mu'adh was there. He was always there in the Mashura with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was like the Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu of the Ansar. Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. He was so great. And he was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this Mashura, Sa'd being present, they decided that we're going to dig this trench. Just recapping. And this trench, it was something not known by the Arabs. So it was a shock to them. And the first person in history, one of Idris, Muhammad Idris Kandahlawi, rahmatullahi, mentions, the first person in history to dig the trench was Manushehr bin Abiraj bin Afridun. This was a practice by the Persians to protect their region. So when the Messenger put this in the Mashura, Salman Farisi radiallahu anhu, who came from Persia, he presented this rai. And we learn from here how important it is to learn from others. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this. The beautiful deen teaches us that don't think that you know everything. Allah's Nabi, who knew and who had direct contact with Allah, Allah is commanding him. Allah is telling him what to do. But what a legacy he left for the ummah. That sit together, make fikr together, have concern for deen together, no matter what your race, no matter what your nationality, no matter what your background. And this is the beauty of our deen. The man who presents this rai is Salman Farisi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Look how Allah ta'ala brings people and they make fikr for Allah ta'ala's deen. This is what Sahaba radiallahu anhu did. Now Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu and the others all in this mashura, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was happy with that and they dug this trench around Medina Munawwara. The trench had to be dug in one direction because Medina Munawwara was already protected by three directions. One side because of the mountain, and the other two sides were actually protected because of rocky terrain. Hundreds of years before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's arrival in Medina, there was a volcanic eruption in Medina Munawwara, and it caused this rocky terrain. They are known as Harra, Harratul Wabra, and Harratul Waqi. Now this trench was dug. A lot of effort was made, and before these tribes arrived, trench was completed, alhamdulillah. And now there was a lot of qurbani at that time because there was pressure and there wasn't actual physical combat, but there was constant guarding of the trench. So there was a lot of fear and there was a lot of worry and concern. The battle of the trench in the Quran, we find its details in the surah called Suratul Ahzab. This is also something interesting to note, that if we want to see the commentary of the Quran on Badr, we'll find it in Surah Al-Anfal. If we want to see commentary of Quran of Uhud, we'll find it in Surah Ali Imran. And if we want the commentary of Ahzab in Quran, we find it in Surah Al-Ahzab. Like, yes, I want to just recite some of the verses of what happened, of the Quran explaining what happened in Ahzab. Where Allah Ta'ala tells us about the reaction of the munafiqeen. And then Allah tells us about the reaction of the mu'mineen. How different were their reactions when this challenge came their way. Because imagine now, they're surrounded from all sides. There's challenges outside Medina. It's cold. It's difficult. It's scary. The fortress in which the women were in had no guard because all the regions were guarded. Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, who was ill, he was with the woman in the fortress and he wasn't feeling well. But otherwise the fortresses were not guarded. And now there's more pressure because Banu Qurayza, who was the only Jewish tribe at this time who was in Medina Munawwara, they had perpetrated treason against the Muslims. They were in a truce with the Muslims that they are in agreement, they are together, they will support each other in defending Medina. Now the Medina Munawwara is being attacked, leave Qurayza participating in defending Medina. Leave that aside. They actually succumb to the enticement of the confederates outside Medina to say that, okay, we will attack Medina from inside and you'll attack from outside. So this made it more difficult. At first, the enemy was outside Medina. That was a challenge. Now it becomes more difficult that Qurayza is now from inside breaking ties with the Muslims. That's why there was a great amount of fear. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, آيات نمبر 8 أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ جاءتكم جنود فأرسلنا عليهم ريحا وجنودا لم تروها وكان الله بما تعملون بصيرا. O people of Iman, remember Allah's favor upon you when these armies, the confederates came upon you, and Allah says, we sent upon them winds. Allah sent winds to help the believers. وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا, and armies that you couldn't see. Meaning Allah Ta'ala sent malaika to help the believers. And Allah Ta'ala knows, Allah is well aware of everything that you do. Then Allah says, إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرَ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. When the Confederates came from above and from below, meaning from every side of Medina, the different armies came and gathered and rallied around Medina. So there was danger. So Medina was surrounded. وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ. So the gazes were dazzled and the hearts were reaching the throats. Then Allah says, you started having all different thoughts about your Lord. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. Some thoughts started coming to the heart. هُنَالِكَ بَتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. There the believers were tested, were examined. وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. And they were tested greatly. Then Allah speaks about the munafiqeen. وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. And the munafiqeen said, and those who have sicknesses in their hearts said, oh, Allah and His Rasul have not promised us something except that which is false, and we are beguiled in that regard. Meaning, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that Deen will reach the four corners of the world and so many lands will come under Islam, but here, now we can't even go relieve ourselves properly. And then even they commented and said, Ya Ahla Yathrib, O people of Yathrib. So they refer to Medina as Yathrib. La muqama lakum. There's no place for you now to remain on your positions. Farji'u, go back. Wa yasta'dhinu fariqum minhum an-nabiyya yaqulun inna buyutana 'awra wa ma hiya bi'awra in yuriduna illa firara. A group of them started saying, hey, our homes are unguarded. And it actually wasn't so. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them posts, and they left their posts wrongfully. And now, in this interim, in this challenge, the munafiqeen were leaving their posts. And then Allah ta'ala speaks about the mu'mineen. The believers' response was such. وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُوا اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And when the believers saw these confederates, these armies diverging upon Medina Munawwara, their utterance was, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's promise is true, and Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are true to their promise, and these challenges and these difficulties only increase them in iman. Then Allah speaks about the believers. Among the believers are men who are true to their pledge with Allah. Then Allah says, there are those who gave their lives for Allah, and there are those who are waiting to give their lives for Allah, and they have not changed the pattern and the system in the least. Now, in the interim of these verses, there's an amazing verse, which is verse number 20, where Allah Ta'ala informs us of the importance of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how important is the sunnah. And the context of the verse is showing us that no matter what your condition, whether ease or difficulty, whether challenges come upon one, one needs to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The translation of the verse is simple. But to look into the verse and see the emphasis in this verse. The verse goes, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. This verse is telling us to follow Rasulullah. But there's seven emphasis in this verse. لَقَدْ. There's a wow, there's a qasam, which is wallah, which is muqaddar, yes. One emphasis. Lam. Second emphasis. قَدْ. Most certainly, definitely, third emphasis. لَقَدْ كَانَ. كَانَ, when it comes before ماضي, it is for more emphasis. The fourth emphasis. لَكُمْ, for you, for your benefit, for you to gain. You will profit, you will improve, you will get better, you will gain if you follow Rasulullah. لَكُمْ. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ would have been sufficient as far as translation. But here Allah says, فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, in every part of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, outer, inner, his dressing, his lifestyle, the way he did everything. Everything done by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his life is the perfect example for you. Uswatun hasana. The perfect example for you. Liman kana yarju Allah, and who will benefit most from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sunnah? He who fears Allah, loves Allah, and hopes to meet Allah. Liman kana yarju Allah. Wal yawm al-akhirah, and he worries about the day he's going to stand before Allah one day. And number three, وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and he makes abundant dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. This person will follow Rasulullah SAW more. Now the amazing part is, in this discussion of Ahzab, the battle of the Confederates, Allah informs us that in every condition, in all situations, follow, emulate Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anyway, so Sa'd bin Mu'adh, as he was on one occasion coming to the battlefield with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because the Muslims were camped at the mountain Sila, because it was very difficult. As he was coming there, he was going late. And actually the armor that he was wearing was very tight, and his arms were opened. So Aisha radiallahu anha saw him going, and his mother actually rebukes him. Sa'd, how dare you? How dare you go late, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there, and you're not by his side? What is wrong with you, my son? Ya bunayya, faqad wallahi akharta. See, oh my son, by Allah, you're too late. And she wanted that he must not delay without being in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companionship even for a moment. Allah tafutahu lahza duna yahza bi ma'iyyati rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was how the mother wanted goodness for the child. Sa'd's mother was upset, oh my son, why aren't you by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's side? My respected listeners, my respected mothers, my respected fathers, we implore the ummah. This should be our zeal for deen. This should be our passion for the deen of Allah. She's rebuking her son because he delayed being by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's side. He was always by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first, by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu. But this one occasion, he was delayed. And even the armor he was wearing was actually very, very tight. It wasn't covering him properly. His mother didn't look at that. She looked at the fact that, why aren't you by my Nabi's side? Allah forgive us. We get upset when our children go late for work or go for school. Rightfully so. But do we feel it when our children went contrary to the sunnah? When our children refuse to go to the masjid? Or when our children delay going to the masjid? When our children refuse to, please Allah Ta'ala in regards to a certain matter, or participate in the program of deen that's taking place in the masjid? Does that hurt us? Does that upset us? Our only concern is the worldly benefit of our children. Something that Allah promised already, and that is which is destined, their rizq, their sustenance. But the responsibility Allah gave us, the duty Allah gave us towards our children, is to uplift their deen, their akhlaq, their character, their akhirat, their jannat. Does that worry us? Does that concern us? A simple thing, my respected listeners, is my child going to madrasa after school? Okay, first of all, we made madrasa second. Okay. But the child is going. Shukr for that. At least there is madrasa. Alhamdulillah. Allah increase it. But now sometimes, Allah forgive us, it mustn't be that child had to go for some excursion, or child had to go for some extra school classes, or child had to go for some, exercises or PE. And now we say, no, what you do, go madrasa time. Or for a haircut, or for some, outing. Allah forgive us, some parents say to the children, go to school, after that you can take a break from madrasa. Allah forgive us. We're actually making our dunyawi life priority. We did it in our life and we're spoiling our children's life. Then we're thinking, what is the benefit of madrasa? When that madrasa is teaching that child how to remain with his iman for the rest of his life. He will remain a Muslim, firm on deen, through that barakat of that maktab. How important is that maktab? There was a great qadi in our Muslim history. His name was Qadi Shuraih al-Qadi. He was such a great man. He was a tabi'i. Even though he was of advanced age, he was the student of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But he was so incredible. He was so amazing that Umar radiallahu anhu wouldn't just put a non-Sahabi above the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in such a high post. He would generally give that to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, except if that tabi'i had great expertise and qualities, like in the case of Shuraih. Shuraih was the qadi of the Muslim world, main cities in Islam, for over 60 years. Shuraih al-Qadi. And it was on one occasion that his son delayed his Asr namaz and didn't go to classes, the maktab, the madrasa. So he asked his son, where were you, my boy? He said, no, I went with my friends. You know, I went here and there. And there was actually, at that time, something common, a dog race. So I went for that. The father was hurt. So one lesson is at least the son opened to the father, and told him exactly what he did. That's also very important, to have a relationship with our children. So our children can open to us. When Quran speaks of father addressing son, the word used by Quran is Ya Bunayya, Ya Bunayya, Ya Bunayya, Aqimis Salata Wa'mur Bil Ma'roofi Wanha Anil Munkari Wasbir Ala Ma Asabak. Ya Bunayya means, oh my beloved child. And when the Quran speaks of the address that the child shows to the father, it is Ya Abati, oh my beloved father, oh my revered father, oh my respected father. So it is a relationship of love, according to the Quran, between father and son. So here his son doesn't go to madrasa. What he does is, he writes a letter to the teacher of that child, the teacher in the madrasa. And he says to him, that, oh respected teacher, my son didn't come to the madrasa, and he delayed his asr namaz. You know, I'm quite hurt at what he did. I want you to actually reprimand him regarding this bad deed of his, and take him to task. What he said is, تَرَكَ الصَّلَاةَ لِأَكْلُبٍ يَسْعَى لَهَا يَبْغِي الْهِرَاشَ مَعَ الْغُوَاتِ الرُّجَّسِ فَلَيَأْتِيَنَّكَ غُدْوَةً بِصَحِيفَةٍ كُتِبَتْ لَهُ كَصَحِيفَةِ الْمُتَلَمِّسِ فَإِذَا أَتَاكَ فَتَاوِهِ بِمَلَامَةٍ أَوْعِظْهُ مَوْعِظَةَ الْأَدِيبِ الْكَيِّسِ وَإِذَا هَمَمْتَ بِضَرْبِهِ فَبِدِرَّةٍ وَإِذَا بَلَغْتَ ثَلَاثَةً لَكَ فَاحْبِسِ وَاعْلَمْ بِأَنَّكَ مَا أَتَيْتَ فَنَفْسُهُ مَعَ مَا يُجَرِّعُنِي أَعَزُّ الْأَنْفُسِ. He left his salah because of his friends, and they ran behind these dogs seeing this race. يَبْغِي الْهِرَاشِ, it was a dog race, مَعَ الْغُوَاتِ الْغُجَّسِ, with bad friends and bad company. Then he says, oh respected teacher, tomorrow my son will come to you with a note. And he doesn't know what is contained in it. But my request to you, oh respected teacher, when my child comes, give him dawa, dawihi bimalamatin, with your strict words. Or you give him advice of an intelligent tutor. And if you feel so, you should stripe him with a stick. And when you reach 3, please stop it at that. And please, respected teacher, I want you to know that no matter what I'm saying in regards to my son, that I'm supporting, we are together in this for the upliftment of my child and the nurturing and the education and the upbringing of my child. With this, I must tell you that there's no one I love more than him. Ma'ama yujarri'uni. It hurts me when he doesn't come to madrasa and learn his Quran and learn his deen and becomes wise. It hurts me when he misses that. A'azzul anfusi. I still love him so much. He's most beloved to me. So we learn that deen is priority. How, when the Sahaba and Tabi'een made deen their priority, how Allah Ta'ala took them far and wide. So Sa'ad's mother, in spite of his age, she actually rebukes him. Oh my son, how dare you be here and you delayed, and Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is in the front line. You should have been with him from the beginning. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, Ya Umma Sa'adin, lawadittu anna dir'a Sa'adin kana asfa mimma hiya. Aisha radiallahu anha says to Kabsha radiallahu anha, the mother of Sa'ad, I wish that if Sa'ad's armor was little bigger and it could fit him properly, it would have been better. The mother said, I'm not worried about that. He mustn't be late from being by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's side. And exactly that's what happened, true to Aisha radiallahu anha's words. On the battlefield, there was a lot of, shooting at each other, because there wasn't so much of combat, and Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was shot. Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was shot exactly on his arm, on the medial arm vein. Rumiya ala akhulihi. Akhul is the Arabic word. It's the vein which is a crucial vein in the body, and blood does not stop flowing if that vein gets cut. And that's exactly where he got shot. Hibban bin Araqa shot him and said, take this from me, I am Ibn al-Araqa. So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu says, Allah will show you. And then he made dua. And the dua Sa'ad radiallahu anhu made is amazing, my respected listeners. He didn't really say, oh Allah, make me martyr, accept me and let me die in your path, which is a great thing. But look at the depth of his dua. Allahumma in kunta abqayta min harbi Quraysh shay'an fa abqini laha. Oh Allah, the Quraysh are coming to attack my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They came to Medina Munawwara to eradicate Islam. If they're going to continue coming like this, keep me to defend my deen, defend my Nabi, defend my Islam, and fight back. فَإِنَّهُ لَا قَوْمْ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أُجَاهِدَهُمْ فِيكَ مِنْ قَوْمٍ آذَوْ نَبِيَّكُ وَكَذَّبُوهُ وَأَخْرَجُوا. There isn't a people I prefer fighting against than those who have harmed your Nabi, denied him, and banished him. And oh my Allah, if they're not going to come back now, and this is the last, then accept me and take me by you, because I want to come by you. فَجْعَلْهَا لِي شَهَادَ. But oh my Allah, one more request is, وَلَا تُبِتْنِي حَتَّى تُقِرَّ عَيْنِي مِنْ بَنِي قُرَيْضَ. Don't take me until you cool my eyes from the Banu Qurayza. They are my allies, but they stab my Nabi in the back. They stab my Muslim brothers in the back. From inside Medina, they perpetrated treason. Oh my Allah, sort them out first, and then you take me. And this is what happened. So Sa'd radiallahu anhu was ill. He was taken to the masjid, and that's where he was treated. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put one sahabiya just who was professional in this task, Rufayda radiallahu anha, to see to him, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would see to him. And in that, Allah ta'ala gave hidayah to Nu'aym bin Mas'ud. Nu'aym bin Mas'ud Ashja'i radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who comes to accept Islam. Allah puts it in his heart. He comes by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Nabi of Allah, I want to accept Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, does anyone know? He said, nobody. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you can do your best and just unite them. And this was now them around Medina. So what he did was, he went to the Jews of Medina. And he was well known by the Jews of Medina because of the fact that in his past days he would come to them to have, entertainment and so forth. So he says to them that you all know me very well. You all now going to face a lot of difficulty, because when all the Confederates leave and go back home, you all going to stay in Medina to face Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam yourself. What you all going to do? They said, yes, you're right, Nu'aym. What do we do? So he said, rather you take 70 people from the Quraysh and keep them by y'all, and at least you can keep them as hostage by you. So if all the Confederates and all the armies have to leave Medina, you Quraysh will not leave, because their men are with you in your fort. They said, hey, what you're saying is right, Nu'aym. Because otherwise, we now, harm Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by actually perpetrating treason, and now, when everyone else goes home, our home is right here. What do we do? Anyway, then he goes to the Quraysh and he says to them that, there's some news that the Jews have regretted their treason against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and their breaking of the truce. So he says, what do you mean? They say to Nu'aym, because they trusted Nu'aym. And Nu'aym actually came from the Ghatfan tribe. He was a senior person. Allah gave him hidayat at that time. Allah put it in his heart. Allah is the giver of hidayat. So he says to them that, I've heard that they now want to make up with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they want to get 70 of your men to hand them over to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a proof of their sincerity. So they weren't sure at what Nu'aym said, but when they actually sent a message to the Jews of Medina to attack from inside, so y'all can lure the Muslims into Medina, while they are occupied, we can fill the trenches and build some bridges and come through, and we'll crush the Muslims from both sides. The Jews responded to say, no, we're not prepared to fight. It's Saturday today. It's the Sabbath. Then they said again, okay, we will, but send for us 70 people. So we have a guarantee. And they are saying, oh, when the Quraysh, they said, yes, what Nu'aym said is right. These people want 70 men from us to hand them to Muhammad. They're talking among themselves. And the Jews are also thinking, yeah, these people don't want to hand us 70 people, and they want to leave us alone to face the music against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're in trouble. And now, that's how Allah Ta'ala used to disunite them. And then when Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu to go finally see, and he goes amongst them, and he was hearing what they had to say, and they made the announcement that we are departing, we are going. That announcement was made. Then Allah Ta'ala sent those winds that were giving them misery and difficulty, and they gave up. And Abu Sufyan gets up before Allah later on gave him hidayat. He makes the announcement and he says that make sure there's no one amongst you from the other side, from the Muslims. And each one grabbed the hand of the next person, because it was very dark and windy. and dusty. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, I was in such worry, I grabbed the hand of the man next to me before he could grab my hand. I said, who are you? And I asked him in such a tone that he got shocked and said, I'm so and so. And he didn't have the courage to ask me. Then Abu Sufyan made the announcement that we are departing. It's too difficult. And he leaves. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, I just thought at that time, if I end off Abu Sufyan's life, it will be so good. And I remembered Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's instruction, don't do more than what I told you. And later Allah gave Abu Sufyan hidayah. Anyway, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu comes to Medina to inform Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the good news of what's happening just outside Medina. And then the battle was ended and the Muslims won this battle of nerves and challenges and patience. When Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arrives in Medina, he goes to see to Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, you know, who was ill, who had a lot of bleeding from his body because the pain was not stopping. The blood from that vein. Anyway, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba was just resting. Jibreel Alayhi Salaam comes and says, now is not the time to rest. Come, we have to depart immediately to Banu Qurayza. Allah's Nabi said that my Sahaba are tired, they're exhausted. Jibreel Alayhi Salaam said, you won't have to do much. You'll have to go now straight to Banu Qurayza. I'm already there with the army of the Malaika. And then the Anas radiallahu anhu says, I saw the dust on the mountain from the mount of Jibreel Alayhi Salaatu Wasalam. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the announcement that obey me and abide by my instruction. Whoever is obeying should not perform his Asr Salah illa bi Bani Qurayza. Make your Asr Namaz in the Banu Qurayza. Meaning Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's instruction meant that leave immediately. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum are departing. And as they were moving towards Banu Qurayza, something interesting took place. It was Asr time. So now there was a discussion amongst the Sahaba that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, make Asr in Banu Qurayza. And others said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam meant, Salah is in its time, but don't delay in your departure. So one group made their Asr. The other group said, we're going to reach there and we will make our Asr when we get there. And when Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reached, this report was given to him. He didn't, you know, reprimand any of the groups that both were right. So we learn from there that the one group understood from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's statement that leave and make your Asr there, meaning try and get there for Asr. And the other group understood it to mean that literally, in the sense that get there, when you get there, you make your Asr no matter what time you reach. So the first group understood that it meant leave immediately, leave quickly, be hasten in your departure. And both were correct. And this is where we have our madahib, which is a very, very important part of our deen, to follow the madhab. Hanafi madhab, the Shafi'i madhab, the Maliki madhab, the Hanbali madhab. Anyway, when Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gets there, the siege was taking place, and the Banu Qurayza from inside were very, very scared. They were worried. Now, what to do? So they're asking their leader, Ka'ab bin Asad, and Huyay bin Akhtab was also amongst them. They're asking Ka'ab bin Asad, what do we do? Ka'ab bin Asad is telling them, that for Wallahi laqad tabayyana lakum, annahu lanabiyun mursal, wa annahu lalladhi tajidunahu fi kitabikum, fatu'minuna. فَتَأْمَنُونَ عَلَى دِمَائِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَبْنَائِكُمْ وَنِسَائِكُمْ. That you know he is the Nabi of Allah. You know you find his description in your books. And you know that he is true. The best thing is that you should all accept Islam. We should all accept Islam. And also the Muslims are merciful. If one accepts, they will not take us to task for our crimes. They will actually forgive us. Because remember, the crime that they perpetrated was completely unacceptable. They were the Jewish tribe who were living under the Muslims, under the protection of the Muslims. They were supposed to be supporting the Muslims. They actually attacked the Muslims and tried with the Confederates to destroy Islam forever. That's what they tried to do. It was sheer treason. So Huyay is telling them that this is one option. The Muslims are so merciful that if you are going to accept, they will give you amnesty. They said, no, we're not prepared to leave our faith. Then the second is, okay, then what you have to do is, you rather than kill your own women and children and go and fight. They said, that also we can't do. Then they said, what else we got to do? So they said, okay, if you don't want to do this, then the best thing is, tonight is the Sabbath, and they're not expecting us to fight on the Sabbath. Let us attack them when they least expecting us. Because the Muslims were outside, they fought. They said, that also we're not prepared to do. Then Ka'ab is telling them, that now, okay, you're not prepared to do anything. So rather just face the decision of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said to them, you very well know But anyway, so this discussion took place inside Medina. And now they agreed to give in. But they wanted to give in to the decision of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Because Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, radiallahu anhu, was their ally from the Khazraj tribe. They were under him also. But Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was very upset at what they did to the Muslims. And where is Sa'd ibn Mu'adh? He is ill and he is in Masjid al-Nabawi. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent a message for him and he came on his donkey and he was ill. As he gets there, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to the Sahaba, قُمُوا لِسَيِّدِكُمْ. Get up, respectful for your leader, for your elder. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was a great Sahabi. He was an elder of the Ansar. And they get up for him out of respect. And also another reason for getting up is also because he was ill, to help him come down. So both reasons come there, to stand up for the elderly and show respect. And the other is also khidmah, and help the elderly and the sickly. Comes there and Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him that it's your decision. You have to decide the fate of Banu Qurayza, because they have now given in to your decision and your discretion. So he said, will everyone listen to what I have to say? So they all said, yes. He indicated towards Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, even he who is here, the great Nabi of Allah, Allah's Nabi said, yes, it's your decision, Sa'd. And Sa'd radiallahu anhu was about to make this decision, and he then made the decision. He made the decision that those men who obviously the men who perpetrated treason, they must be put to the sword. And besides them, the women and children will be spared as captives and so forth. When he made this decision, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that this is the decision in accordance to Allah's decree, and it is also the decision in the Torah. And exactly as that, that's exactly what happened. For their treason, this is how they paid for their treason. And this is actually their belief for treason. It comes in the Torah, in the book of Exclusions, chapter 20, verse 10, that when you land at a city to fight with its inhabitants, first send a message of peace. If they accept your peace proposal and throw open their doors for you, every inhabitant found in that city will pay homage to you and serve you. And if you decline your offer of peace and wish to engage you in war, lay siege to them. And when your Lord grants you control, kill every man with a sword, but women, children, and livestock. So this is actually in their book, the Torah. And Allah Ta'ala guided Sa'd radiallahu anhu to judge according to this decision, according to their law. And that's exactly what happened. Just after that, Sa'd radiallahu anhu's arm and his wound reopened, and he continued to bleed, and he left this world. Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu passed away. But analyze his dua. He said, oh my Allah, give the Muslims victory. If these mushrikeen of Makkah are not going to come back to Medina to attack my Muslims and my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then take me. But take me after you cooled my eyes with taking to task those who committed treason against my Muslims, against my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look at it, after the battle of Khandaq, Allah's Nabi announced, Al-ana naghzuhum wa la yaghzuna. Now, they will never get the chance to come to us. It will be us who will go to them. And that was also the dua of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. And then he asked Allah to spare him until the occasion of Qurayza, and that's exactly what Allah did. And after that, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu left this world. When Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu left this world also, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participated in his janazah. The mother of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu cried, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every woman who cries is untrue, and is not crying completely, sincerely, or rightfully so, except the mother of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. She has the right, complete right to cry, because Sa'd was really exceptional. Allah's Nabi said, كُلُّ بَاكِيَةٍ تَكْرِبْ إِلَّا أُمَّ سَعْد. كُلُّ بَاكِيَةٍ تَكْرِبْ إِلَّا أُمَّ سَعْد. And Sa'd radiallahu anhu was carried then, and he was buried in Baqiya. But his mother cried abundantly. And Asma bint Yazid ibn Sakan reports that when Sa'd bin Mu'adh passed away and the mother was crying so profusely, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا يَرْقَعْ دَمُعُكْ وَيَذْهَبْ حُزْنُكْ فَإِنَّ ابْنَكْ أَوَّلْ مَنْ ضَحِكَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ وَاهْتَزَّ لَهُ الْعَرْشُ. O mother of Sa'd, lessen your tears. Let your grief subside. because I give you the good news that your son is the first one that Allah Ta'ala smiles at and shows him love. And Allah Ta'ala's arsh has shaken from the death of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. So very happy was this patient mother after that, after hearing this great news of the rank and the status of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And it comes in Hayat al-Sahaba that in the volume 3 under the miracles of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, the report of where Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when he passed away by his grave, this report is in Abu Na'im fil Ma'rifa and Muhammad ibn Shurahbil, that someone took some soil from the grave of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu. When he opened his hand, it was musk. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. His joy was seen from his face. And there were so many malaika attending the janazah of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So these are the great Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. They gave their lives serving Allah Ta'ala's deen, pleasing Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, serving the deen of Allah Ta'ala. How fortunate are we? I was just reading about this great Sahabi, Uqba bin Nafi', and sometime, inshallah, we will discuss a whole series on the life of Uqba bin Nafi'. There's a discussion whether he's a Sahabi, but the outcome of it is that he was born in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, so he is a Sahabi. How he, under Amr bin As, radiallahu anhu, took Islam into Africa, and he kept on striving in Allah's path. When he spread deen in one region, he actually stayed there for 20 years teaching deen and giving the dawat. He was working towards North Africa, working towards bringing deen to the four corners of the world, introducing mankind to the deen, opening the way for mankind to Jannat. This was the sacrifices of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They made great sacrifices for you and I, my respected listeners. That's why we have to have utmost respect for them, and we have to have love for them, and we have to endeavor to learn about their lives. To such an extent that Uqba bin Nafi' rahmatullah alayhi, after years of effort, in the year 63 Hijri, 63 years after the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he finally reaches the Atlantic Ocean. And he dips his horse into this ocean, and he sighs, and he grieves, and he cries. And he says, oh my Allah, I want to take deen to the other side also. I wish I could reach on that side. There's so many people there who haven't heard about you, who don't know about you. My purpose and objective was, if I could, I would cross this ocean and take deen to them also. This was the cry of Uqba bin Nafi' rahmatullah alayh. I even have his du'a where he says, Ya Rabbi lawla hadha al-bahr, oh my Rabb, if it wasn't for this ocean, لَمَضَيْتُ فِي الْبِلَاجِ مُجَاهِدًا فِي سَبِيلِكَ, I would have continued in the land, striving in your way, in your path. اللهم اشهد أني قد بلغت المجهود, قد بلغت المجهود, oh Allah, bear testimony, I've reached where I can. وَلَوْلَا هَذَا الْبَحْرِ لَمَضَيْتُ فِي الْبِلَاجِ, if it wasn't for this ocean, I would have continued striving in your path, calling mankind to you, so that you alone are worshipped on this earth, and you alone are obeyed. This was the cry of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. In the same Uqba bin Nafi' rahmatullah alayh, he was actually with 300 of his men returning to Qayruwan, and he was attacked in a region called Zab, and the battle took place, and that's exactly where he was shaheed, and his grave is there. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah also give us the zeal to emulate and follow the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and share deen with mankind like Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum did. The three quls for the Sahabi Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhum and all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Jazakumullahu khair wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.